It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 312.
What?
Welcome, yeah. Jules Land.
Hang on a second. 312? Have you done this nearly every day? Every day?
Yeah, every weekday.
Every weekday.
Mate, you were on last time, episode 159.
God, that was only last week. How many are you squeezing these in?
We do five a week.
I feel like I actually haven't had a conversation. I mean, the best thing about this podcast is that you can actually sit down with somebody
yeah.
and go through a lot of stuff, yeah. a lot of content. It's not normal. It's not a normal friendship. I've seen you since that episode quite a few times, but we haven't actually had much of a chat.
No.
People will know Jules Lund as the founder of Tribe, and you've been popping up in my LinkedIn newsfeed.
Good.
Based on
engagement pod, the girls over there. So I've got two of the Tribe team here. I've got Lisa Target, who's a UK GM over from London, and Grace, who's one of our superstars from the London office as well. And they've been laughing because when I posted that on LinkedIn, I said to the whole team, get amongst it, engagement pod. So they're liking it and commenting so that the algorithm, you would know this, Joshy.
Yeah. Mate, I get text messages from Josh saying, can you please jump on LinkedIn to like my post?
Yeah.
I have an account for my toe thumb, like an Instagram account, and toe thumb actually gets into engagement sometimes on my stuff and have a conversation.
Great. I forgot about your toe thumb. Yeah.
It's quite disgusting. It's quite grotesque.
What does Bree think about that?
It's not ideal, but it does sort of – it works with my hands, sort of.
Does it?
It works maybe with a silverback's hands.
No, the purpose is it works with a foot because it's
it's got that far.
Mate, how's his handstands though?
If I had the core strength. But no, so how long have you been back in Melbourne?
2 days.
Well, if it was going by your email signature, you've been away for the last 8 months.
Yeah, yeah. I've now set that up. Email signature is a standard now. It says I'm away because it gets rid of all the nuffies. How hard was it for you to get through it, mate?
Well, I'd never know when you're here. That's what I'm texting you.
As I said, the nuffies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you text me back. I'm like, fuck, it's either I've punished you and woke you up in the middle of the night in New York City.
That's what I want. I want you to feel awkward. I want you to feel like you're annoying me because guess what, Tommy?
I am annoying you. I have been for the last 10 years.
Do you get any pushback from using the autoresponder?
Yeah, I've had a few people call me out, think that I think I'm a VIP. Yeah. It's a bit arrogant. Because it basically says, hey, I'm overseas working. Basically, I'll get back to you when I can.
Yeah.
And I get back to everyone that I care about very quickly, but it buys me a few days, I think. And then on my voice message, I get hit up on this one as being pretty arrogant, which is I don't listen to voice messages, send me a text. How do you feel about that?
I think that's great.
Yeah, Jeff Jowett, who's been on, he legitimately says, I will not listen to this email.
Well, he is from the 80s, Jeff, isn't he?
He probably would say email.
Yeah. How long were you in New York?
Well, I did 3 weeks. I just, you would love South by Southwest.
I've been a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. So,
tell you who else loves South by Southwest? Jason Dundas.
Oh, yeah.
He's always there.
Did he go? I went to Austin for 6 nights there. Mm-hmm. I don't think I even scraped the surface of. So it's a creative festival. For those who don't know, it's sort of, it's where marketing world, tech world, music, film all collide in Austin, Texas, and takes over the whole town. But it's just great people like us, creative, innovative, excited, want to celebrate life. It's not like Cannes Lions, which is sort of like an advertising. It's the la-di-da in south of France, a lot of expensive money on yachts. This is the opposite.
Austin, Texas barbecue. I was having it breakfast, lunch and dinner, and they would do, like for breakfast, I would have like a free brownie. They were doing like free brownies and stuff.
I got to about the sixth day and went, Jesus, I'd kill for some cutlery. Yeah. I think I ate, everything was out of food trucks. There was, wasn't such a thing as a plate. I don't think I saw a plate. And I just, everything's Mexican.
Yeah,
Mexican. You're looking good though. You're looking kind of lean.
Can you get your hand off my leg?
No, I will not. It's a nice dense leg. So I feel like this ride for you with Tribe, you can see where it's at. I reckon I could tell what stage of the business you're at based on how you're just talking with me. And you seem really happy at the moment. You seem like shit's going well.
Yeah. I tell you what, you have seen me. I think you've even recorded me. Yeah. So I've had some bad days, right?
Yeah.
And just so happens that it coincides with Tommy wanting some really inspiring video. So he puts a camera on me and he goes, talk to me about entrepreneurship. And I say, don't fucking do it.
But he still does. He still talks to me about it.
And then I just go into this diatribe of like, this is hell. And right, this is going back, what, about 14 months ago or something?
Yeah, easily.
And I'm like, this is how. And so then we just went, let's just do a video that's really raw and honest. And so if it all goes to shit, we can bring the video out. And if it doesn't, then it's an honest representation of, you know, the tough moment.
Could be you could be the next Fire Festival sort of documentary. it's always in the back, of your mind, right?
Which is like
you've got Billy vibes. You could.
thanks.
You're good at pulling people in.
Yeah, Billy's was very entrepreneurial.
To be
even
honest,
though he was criminal.
even though he's in jail.
Yeah,
I love that because you're right. I am good, like you guys, in rolling people. Right, you've got a new idea, and you guys have. Yeah. This is the most committed you've been to any one of your ideas ever, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you guys have an idea a month and you're excitable and then you enroll everyone and then the next idea and they've just invested in the first.
Yeah, it's annoying. But I mean, you've done the exact same thing with Tribe.
Yep.
Is every time you go to a different market, I was reading that the UK office has outperformed the Australian office.
Oh, yeah, that's Lisa and Grace over there. They can take credit for that. So there's about 10 or 11 of the team over there, and it's super impressive.
Yes. You have to get people to subscribe. Does it feel like a new idea every time when it's doing the new market, or does it feel like...
No, it does. I'll tell you something that's extraordinary. So we have just the news is broken today through TechCrunch, which is the leading tech publication globally. So it's a really – it's even just a significant thing being on TechCrunch and having it announced.
Yeah.
And so we're moving – we've just raised $10.5 million and we've set up our offices in New York City and we're about to – you know, we're about to have a crack at the US after the success of the UK. But what's extraordinary is I'm sending out these videos of our story. You know, what is our story? Because, JJ, you're absolutely right. We have to start again.
Okay. Yeah.
Luckily, I've been saying the same crap for 4 years, so much so that there's a video of me in 2017 that described Tribe, and it's the video I've put in the article because we haven't changed it. I love that.
Well, the pitch video we made to get the original funding, there's not much difference.
Nah. Yep.
But the good thing too is if you create a lot of content, it's like Gary Vee. He produces enough content that he can say just about anything and then just pull on the one that works at the time. The thing with Gary Vee is actually there was a YouTube competitor back in the day called Vidler.
Okay.
And
sounds like someone you should keep 5 miles back from a primary school.
Exactly. And the thing is, he was very much like all in on Vidler. But it's amazing how he was able to change things
up.
Don't
you love the December LinkedIn prediction posts?
Yeah.
Because no one fucking goes back 12 months ago. You were clearly so far off.
Yeah.
Like you can just say anything and by the next year, you just predict the next big thing. And if it comes off, you cheer. But if it doesn't, no one even knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at that time we were doing that video and you were a bit morbid.
Yeah.
What was... Was America on the cards at that point? I think UK, you'd launched the office.
No, surviving was on the cards. Look, the reality is, as I've described to you guys before, it's you know, you're in survival mode as a startup. Mm. So you raise the money and then the money every day gets less, right? And so you have to then use that money with enough impact that by the time the money runs out, you've said to people, the last people that gave us this money, this is what we've done with it. It's so good that if you give us money for the next year or two, then this is what we're going to do to yours. So in that small window of that original amount of money, if you haven't grown, no one's going to give you any more.
Yeah.
And so you just go in that cycle. And so at the moment we've raised some money. We're now excited because, you know, people give us that money to spend and we've got enormous amount of traction. So we're optimistic that amount of money we can do something really significant with. And in this part of our journey, 4 years on, we have invested in technology, which means for 4 years we have strangely been fighting with one arm behind our back tied because when you build tech, the idea is you're not meant to go in there and help the tech. Mm. Whereas if you're an agency that had an opportunity to make $100,000 with influencers, you just start emailing people, you get busy, everyone rolls their sleeves up and you just make it happen, you get the money. Whereas in tech, you're actually trying to allow the platform to do all of that work. And so sadly, it takes an enormous amount of investment, like, you know, probably... $8 million we've spent on our development.
Wow.
and it takes an enormous amount of time. And so what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to predict the future. So you need to be able to go, if I'm going to build this in concrete, because that's what it feels like, and I'm going to invest all this money, by the time we've finished it, the market better not have moved. Otherwise, we're stuffed. And so when I say to you that video hasn't moved in 2 years or 3 years, that's such a great endorsement that we are able to think about the fundamentals of what we're building for and know that there's nuances that shift, but be ahead of the market and future-proof ourselves. And so at the moment, 4 years on, it looks like our technology is finally catching up. It's starting to overtake competitors and it's super exciting. And so it sort of feels like it begins a little bit now. We've built this thing for scale that anyone can jump online and say, I want content from influencers that, you know, they can either publish to their followers, which is word of mouth marketing at scale, or actually I'm just using these influencers to create content for my social advertising or my billboards, which is sort of like you turning your customers into your creative department. Mm. And so that now at this point is really exciting globally, and brands have caught up to that concept, even though we've been visualizing it for a few years. And so hopefully it's the perfect storm.
So what I used to come and watch you. I'm just bored of seeing you say the same thing.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
I just watched the videos that I've made previously for you. Yep. But you were – what I loved is you were almost making some of these predictions, or you were coining phrases or
– trying to.
Identifying areas. What has come off from what you were sort of – projecting,
yep,
and what hasn't?
Well, Joshy, you'd agree that every time you have a prediction, you naturally go to GoDaddy and buy a domain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So
it's very true. Yeah. Do you know, Leon Shergren, who we had on the show the other day, Shergs.com is available.
It's pretty unique. I mean, it's
what do you think about Shergs? So Leon Shergren, he wears really colorful shirts.
Yep.
And so I thought of Shergs. Shirts.
It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful. I mean, look, you know, it's great until you get the free campaign at his radio station and no one can read it. Yeah, yeah. Shirts.
It's got some issues, but yes, absolutely. Domain names. Yeah. Off the GERD, I accidentally bought instead of Off the Grid, which cost me.
Do you own ToeThumb.com?
ToeThumb.com I own, yes.
Yeah.
Instagram not.
You know, I was at a cafe the other day and a guy was telling me just how he got the domains of this guy that he worked with. So say the guy's name's Matthew Shepherd. Mm. He just got MatthewShepherd.com and he can put whatever he wants on there and it's going to get better SEO every time that guy's name is put in. So now he just fucks with him, right?
Yeah, that's annoying.
Because it's going to come up before his LinkedIn or anything and someone else owns it and it's this vulnerability. So now he's just going to extort money out of it. Imagine if I had JoshJansen.com.
Someone bought JulesLund.com.
Yeah.
And then didn't he want to give it to you or something?
No, don't bring up the war. I got absolutely...
That guy went to jail for other shit, didn't he? Just quietly?
No, but what's I hope this? So.
I think it was done for... Like, I just remember black background and it had it was like a...
Which guy?
There was a guy who had a bunch of domain names in sort of the B-grade celebrity and then
so it wasn't mine. So,
and then everyone down from that. And... And so I remember that you would go to the website and there was like, there's something internet authority. I think it was literally that internet authority. But basically it was a dude, he was in Queensland and he was buying all these domains.
I reckon I know the guy.
I'll just say, what a loser.
Yeah, I got ripped off. It's one of the most embarrassing stories within Tribe over the last 4 years where I just got absolutely.
Did you get JulesLund.com?
No, it wasn't over that. It was over a Tribe domain, but I just got absolutely stooged. This guy just...
What did he do?
I want to hurt him.
I hope it was a .com.au as well.
It was some just random like, yeah. And to be honest, I can't talk about it. But in terms of the domain and so Shergs has got Shergs Shirts. He's got the license plate for Shergs.
Yeah, so I think it could be good. But I
he
collect
needs a
domain
following
names.
Probably to yeah, sell
also,
the shirts.
I've got Hamish's domain name, HamishBlake.com, because I will constantly be on GoDaddy and I'll just be like, I'll just write in people's names. And it came up and I texted him. I said, like this, because normally it doesn't go. I've had it before where I've got a good .co. I've got filmmaker.co and a few others. Yeah. And I've had it before where I got an epic one and GoDaddy had just sort of been tweaked at the time and it didn't go through.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, HamishBlake.com. was available. And then I straight away messaged him and said, you should completely own this. But the thing is, Hamish has fucking Hamish Blake shots on Instagram. Like, he's the opposite of someone who cares about all
the
that
domain
sort of
doesn't
stuff.
Equate to success. You can safely say that.
But it just feels like it does.
I know.
It does, yeah. So a friend, you know, Carly Schmidt. So Carly got, I won't mention it because of the person, but she had an idea, right? Mm. And it, like you and I, she just quickly got the domain. And it feels like I've already started my company, doesn't it? Yeah. Like you feel like you've done heaps.
Bigmediacompany.com we have. We've spoken about it. TheDailyTalkShow.com.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. You've done really well. So she's got one and then she gets reached out to and within literally a few weeks, someone buys it for $5,500.
Jeez.
She made $5,500 off like $11.95. And so I then spent about $5,500 and I haven't even made $11.95. I haven't even made the reverse. But I then went, AR and VR. So I thought, I'm going to get ahead of this curve. And I did everything. I must have spent, don't tell Anna, when I had money before the startup, I must have spent $5,000 on AR, cinemas, VR, skiing, AR driving lessons, VR porn, AR headset, VR glasses, or .com.
Yeah,
I thought I was on a winner. Now I've run out of money and I have to get rid of them. And I'm like, that was stupid.
So these are your predictions that haven't come through.
Okay, there's plenty of those. But in answer to your question, back when we talked about the domain, were there certain things... that I've conceived that have come off. Generally speaking, from a industry point of view, absolutely. In fact, everything has. And you know, different. It just comes at different times. And thankfully, our team is over time has realized that some of the weird stuff that I talk about slowly comes off, and the stuff that doesn't come off. Anyone I've spoken to about that is immediately
no longer with the company.
They're gone.
Do you feel like you have to evangelize, or like say when Absolutely. You're so into an idea, how do you get people within the business into it? Is it just about, because it almost plays into the persona or the character, which is just like when you're strong on an idea, there's enthusiasm. But there's also, I can go from enthusiasm to maybe Josh is slightly manic right now and it's not a great idea. How do you discern, how do you sort of?
Well, there's, look, I think anyone who's with me in the moment gets a bit of the manic stuff, but I think it drives everyone forward because the manic usually drives to, we've fucking got this. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like this is, do you see, if we do that plus this, what could happen? Mm. Like we've built the tech for this reason, but if we open this little portal now that we've already got all the technology, we can enter this whole different industry. And that in itself, so then I'll just go, and if I've had a coffee, you can imagine.
Yeah. I've just started having black coffee. I got a mocha
Talk
master.
About ADHD. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's actually a nightmare. I've replaced Can't stay water. On task. I've had water. Instead of water, I have coffee now. I'm shaking because I bought like a really nice, what is it called?
Mocha Master.
No, thermos. Thermos, where I put the coffee in. Mm. And so I'm drinking like fucking 800 mils
you drink
a
more
day.
When it's just
and then I'm not stuff, sleeping now too.
Do you ever shart?
Pardon? Shart? No, absolutely not.
Because I reckon that's dangerous.
I eat too much meat.
How do you, I think, looking into what Josh, you're saying, Josh and I are founders of our business.
Yeah.
And one of us has an idea. And I know Josh doesn't like trying to sell in anything to me, but you are, you know, in a much bigger operation where you're the founder. I'd say you're a visionary of that company. And are you selling in to people this stuff? Like, or are you coming in your manic state and going, this is the way forward, get on the back of this horse?
Because part of my frustration is it's like, it's so fucking clear. And if you're asking these questions, you're so out of it, like you don't understand. Like,
there's a part that, you
I could
need
be
to
wrong.
Have people to be in support
Absolutely.
Of that.
Here's the key. For 4 years, everyone that's joined has heard the vision. Mm-hmm. And all that happens from there is that vision gets validated. Mm-hmm. And that's what I talk about in those moments. And they see it for themselves. So, you know, in the early days when everyone, you know, we sat down, CEO and I, and said, all right, get out your black book and, you know, let's invite all the celebrities that you know to download Tribe. And it was so, like, we made this big list and I looked at it and I went, I don't reckon any of them could take a good photo to save themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
They got 200,000 followers because they're on the Home and Away or something, but I don't reckon they could take a good photo, branded content. And they're like, doesn't matter, it's about the followers. And it's like, no, I actually only care about the content. And so we've made huge – huge, bold decisions based on my experience, and it's been the exact same thing. So in answer to your question, TJ, it's not like a new thing every week. It's literally the exact same thing that we've been talking about. The world just hasn't caught up, and we're just building towards that. And what I discuss is when things move, like Instagram shifts, I go, this is moving closer towards our need. And so, like Lisa and Grace are over there, they'll, you know, because they're in UK time, they'll be posting stuff. And the first thing I wake up in the morning, I'll see some huge shift in Instagram, and I'll just go, it's happening. And that's all I do. It's just, it's happening, and it's moving. The phones, the technology and smartphones are getting better. The consumer behavior is shifting. It is all just moving towards what I believe is a multi-billion-dollar category that doesn't even exist yet, and we want to own it.
When do you celebrate within your business?
Look, to be honest, we celebrate today and we celebrate yesterday. So, and
you used to celebrate every Friday with Nando's, but yeah, no. I no longer am invited.
Well, that's because they took the Nando's VIP card away from me.
Cut you off.
Yeah, they cut me off. Turns out they were expecting me to somehow add value to them.
Okay, yeah.
In the way of B-grade celebrity.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the C-grade, then they're just giving me chicken and occasionally social. Then when I got to D-grade, it just wasn't worth
the chips. I say you're so far away from any grade right now with your mic technique.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Actually, to be honest, it's such a fucking stupid table because if this was a circle, I'd be looking – I don't want to cut you out and I don't want to cut you out, so I've got to sit back. Mate, you guys haven't thought about this.
No, we
get
have.
Free road stuff and then you've got this from IKEA.
Your TV's Jules Lund. If there's anyone who can do it, it's you.
Okay, well, I'm holding the mic.
There's a chance it will disconnect everything.
I just picked up the microphone for those listening. You didn't even describe my visual motion.
Yeah, he picked up the microphone.
He's being an arsehole.
Is that worth it?
Yeah.
What's more celebration?
Oh, so you guys talk over each other because I'm blocking you with my head.
No,
I just sit back.
Celebrating those celebrations.
I was exhausted last night. There was because I'm part of a marketing scholarship and they were congratulating me because of the press yesterday.
What does that mean, by the way, marketing scholarship?
There's this fantastic organisation called the Marketing Academy, and globally, the UK, US and Australia, there's people 30 a year become part of this marketing boot camp, which you would think is about marketing, but it's really just this almost self-discovery, challenge yourself, support each other. Everyone at this time in our lives who are ambitious and trying their best get a bit lost in it. You know, it's pretty bloody tough.
Is this the thing where you went away?
Yeah, I went away for a boot camp for a week, and then basically I spent the whole year. They get a pool of the greatest minds in the country, and I just go and have 90-minute sessions sitting down with them. It's amazing. I should loop you in so you could get some of those people on this show, but I probably won't.
Is it the desk?
We'll email.
What is it?
It's the fucking desk.
We're upgrading.
We're about to take on a new office.
By the time I come back, which might be on Tuesday. Yeah. So celebrating, I had a beer last night because they said, you know what, you should celebrate that. And it does remind you. So I went, I'm going to have a beer. It was a mid-strength Corona, which actually exists. And I sat and watched Umbrella Academy. And then today we've got some fun stuff at the office where the morale is amazing because, you know, it's been a long time coming. To raise this money.
Yeah. Just quickly on the discussion around followers and fake followers.
Yep.
How has that shifted over the years? I feel like it's dulled down a bit.
Yeah.
People are getting outed. Like I see, I saw in this Facebook page, the Shameless, a girl podcast by two girls who have this massive following. Anyway.
Tagline is smart women who like dumb stuff.
And so they've built this massive audience.
As opposed to this one.
I saw
dumb blokes who like smart stuff.
This girl went through and did an audit on about five Melbourne-based, Australian-based influencers. And literally it broke down the audience.
Them.
No, she just did it off her own back.
She did audit.
She audited them, went in, looked at them,
that's
screenshots.
Exhausting.
Yeah, exactly.
Lucky, we've spent 3 years on technology that just does that by itself, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because we've got, you know, we have 50,000 content creators and they grow every day. So every time that someone connects their account to our system, It scans their audience on probably, I think it's about 8 different metrics. Mm. So it checks obviously historical spike in followers, but also spike in engagement. So if it goes 1 like, 2 likes, 3 likes, 1,004 likes, 1,005 likes, has ratio between comments and likes. If you have 1,000 likes and 2 comments, that's flagged by the system. And then and even content, reverse image search. So if it appears online, so people ripping it from Pinterest. But then on entrance, it scans you.
Is that what you're
What was funny?
I was
just
thinking about reverse image searching Josh's thumb and it comes back a foot.
I don't think it would, mate. I think you'd want to have safe search on. I think if you image search that.
Real stumpy one too.
But is the noise around you, because I remember when you first started, it was like everyone was getting
into. No, it was. Last year, I'll tell you when it peaked. So the greatest marketer on the planet, the most awarded, is a man by the name of Keith Weed. And Keith Weed is the CMCO of Unilever, which is, you know, I think it would have to be either the first or second biggest advertiser on the planet. So it owns everything from Lipton iced tea to Magnum ice creams, all the way through to Dove and hair care products, you name it. So it's pretty huge. Last year at Cannes, he stood up and said, right, we're never going to invest in influencers who buy fake followers, right? Which is lucky because, you know, we've done 60 campaigns with those guys by that stage and they've never worked with anyone with fake followers because we've protected them. But the world took that as there's fraud in the industry, which of course there is. Mm. I mean, we hired you, JJ, remember?
Yeah.
Well, I think you scooged me.
Well, I did a Melbourne Geek article in 2011.
Yeah, he published the article after we hired him because of this stunt.
It worked out very well. No, but it was when it was like blowing up where they were saying these are the most influential people in Melbourne. Yeah. Mm. And the thing that pissed me off is it was like purely 2011, it was the time where numbers were everything. Yeah, I thought it was so stupid. So I got you onto Fiverr, I remember in that time. I remember I spent $5, got 30,000 followers. But the amount of anxiety, I've actually deleted that Twitter account because the amount of anxiety associated with people thinking that I'm of
influence. Well, you could block them.
Osher Ginsberg did that. He put it into a system to try and do it.
No, the systems don't work. You've got to literally manually.
He blocked every follower.
Good.
Accidentally, so he had to start a new account. Or I remember he did an Instagram.
The unblocking.
So it's a nightmare.
So basically, because even when you come into our platform, it scans you 4 times a day every day. So everyone attracts ghost followers, right? Yeah. So we all, if you go through, you'll see these accounts with, you know, 5 posts. It's got a lot of X's in the handle. But what you've got to do is just cleanse your account. And so in our platform, we've blocked tens of thousands of people that are not willing to cleanse it. But I'm not allowing a brand to pay a cent for something that isn't real. Mm. And so we protect them in that way. But I love yours, JJ, because it was during that process where I went online to see, could this guy do social?
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I missed the blog or you published it afterwards, but you fucking got me.
Well, I buried the lead in some regards at the beginning.
Because I looked at it and he had like 30,000. I was like, this guy ain't no chump. This guy's unreal. And we brought him in and then he charmed us.
For 12 months.
Yeah.
when you get $10 million, how do you work out what you're going to spend it on?
Well, you know, the frightening part is when you have 70 staff in 5 cities.
You've got a month runway.
Exactly. No, your burn rate, which is how much it costs you to run that every month. And obviously we're bringing in money, but we're certainly not profitable. We're not bringing in more money than we're spending because we're building a fast tech, a tech company. So how do we – it just gives you extra amount of time, but there's not an enormous amount of step ups. Mm. So in other words, we can't go, we're just going to hire 5 more senior people from Facebook and Google. Do you know what I mean?
An office in Manhattan, very expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you work out? Because I guess
you go in the biggest building in the whole town.
Well, we actually did. We've got 1 World Trade Center. Now,
all floors.
all of them. No, we're on the 85th and it is absolutely magic.
Oh, yeah. Only the 85th.
How many floors are there?
84. And have you seen King Kong? Yeah, we're freezing up on that pole. No, the reality of that is we had a budget and it was for the budget allowed us a pretty modest place in Midtown in Manhattan. Turns out that the woman running this this floor went to primary school with me.
No
and,
way.
And she loves, you know, we connected back then. You know, I was in class with her sister. And then and she reached out and she said, if you guys are coming over here, I want to do everything I can in my power to help you. And so she says, and I hope this doesn't get her in trouble, but she says, whatever you're looking at, we'll match that, but we'll give you this amazing place. And so
you went to Chinatown, found a little shoebox and said,
yeah, exactly.
Can you match this?
That was going to cost us $600. So she's been super generous. So there's by no chance can we, and I have to explain that to our investors because yeah. we've raised the money. They don't want to see this view out there, but it just so happens that yeah. we've got generosity. And the Aussie expat community in New York is so generous mm. and it's such a special thing. In the UK, there's no Aussie expat community. They are just Aussies. Everyone. Yeah. In fact, there's less UK people in – and so in the US, though, it's a minority and they sort of help each other out, which has really been great.
Yeah. That kind of stuff happens to you though, Jules.
Sometimes, but you guys too. Like you caught yeah. up with Eddie Buckingham, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Any mates with Eddie?
Yeah, so I go to Chinese Tuxedo. That's where I took Celine, who helped us out with the office as a thank you. Split the bill. And
we both did Post Malone, who was just out
there.
Oh, that
was awesome. Yeah, so I cool. saw that picture.
Josh is thinking, who the fuck's that guy?
I had no idea what was going on.
He looked scary with all those face tats. Like,
why is Tommy taking a photo with the homeless it's like, man?
With the biggest rap star in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Post?
That was that's your win of luck. So good things happen. I think in New York, good things happen. Like you had a journey there, you know, probably 8 years ago. Shit name, but a great adventure.
Yeah, yep.
Suck on that, Jules Lund.
Yeah, we actually bought followers for that one.
Did you?
Well, we bought because we had no profile. We bought them to try and just give us some leverage. So
this gives context of just how much we thought I had clout, that these guys had nothing. Two young blokes who were going over to the States doing some content, and we said, why don't we – What did you do? You built it on the basis that I was so gutted about yeah. my glory days being over, that I had a wife and two kids yeah. and you and Fitzy are going and traveling around the globe like I used to be able to do.
Yes.
But using Jules's name yeah. in the show, yeah. I think you would have had more luck with who the fuck's Jules Lund as a time.
It worked though. It was at a time it was like no
travel, because I was doing travel. So there was a bit yeah. of like, you know, this is the sort of travel you wish you could do.
I think what more worked than your name was just two drongos from Australia, confident and cocky. Well, just like, can we come into your nightclub? Sure. Come through the kitchen. What the fuck? It was that kind of stuff happened.
Tommy's told me stories, which makes me cringe. The idea of there's...
Imagine if they were true.
No, but the idea that he's said to a vineyard, like, hey, can we come and film? We're doing this online show. And the reality is that Tommy was rocking up with like a point and shoot.
Yeah. But no one really knew.
Like, until you get there.
Maybe, and then but I like, still think there's like.
But YouTube, like people have built million-dollar empires on yeah. a point and shoot.
Yeah.
Like,
off an iPhone probably.
Well, that's, I mean, you look at Casey Neistat, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like it's. We know, like a big media company, we yeah. know more than anyone that content isn't restricted by equipment. Having said that, this Rode panel is amazing.
Yeah,
isn't
it's great. There's sound effects and everything. Play off a sound effect.
Oh, so that's sort of
yeah.
got different
yeah.
When do you drop that?
I don't know. I've got actually
can I just do something?
Well, here we go. You're going to do a random one.
This one? No, what was
see
the
what
one?
Happens.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is that your thumb or a toe? Oh.
We do have laughter and oh, whoops.
That's for when you come back on and Tribe's gone.
It was a disappointing sound effect.
There is some magic to New York City. Do you think, as far as America,
yeah.
choosing the location?
Yeah, and no, I think New York's great. It's the epicenter for brands and marketing, but it shit happens there and it happens fast.
How many leeches from the Australian office are already saying, "Hey, Julesy, do you need anyone to go to the office?"
You mean
your employees?
We don't have any leeches in my company.
Really?
Thank you.
No, but I would 100%. I know that, like, dude, working at Invado, as soon as you find out, hang on, we've got a Mexican office.
Ironically, two of my great staff members have gone to Invado.
Oh,
so
really?
They're working with Cyan and Colin and stuff.
I said to Amy yesterday, literally reading that Mumbrella article, I was like, if this was 7-8 years ago, I would have been pestering Jules to get into that New York office.
Yeah.
Just, I'll do whatever,
I know, I would
mate.
Have. And back then
whatever.
I was still naive enough to have hired you for that.
Would have had the point and shoot camera going.
Don't worry, sack on this, Jules.
I mean, what's been the biggest takeaway? How long did you actually spend in New York to get it set up?
Well, I mean, the irony is we're already set up. We've been set up since the end of last year. And the reason we're going there is because we don't need – well, that's not the right answer. 20%
That's the first time Tommy's ever pressed the roadcast.
And I got it right.
How did he know?
I got it right.
We actually have an Audio Jungle watermark.
So the way the buttons work, it does look like a test you'd give monkeys. And if TJ can actually figure this out, it's too easy for monkeys.
It's way too easy. I'm actually going to turn that fader down.
Yeah. So the 20%, so we're a self-serve platform. So 20% of all of our brands that jumped online to create a brief, an influencer marketing campaign, came from North America last year. And 25% of all of our creators that download the app came from North America last year, and we had no market presence. It's just that because you can start it on the website, everyone's just like, I want this. So we were thinking possibly going to Asia or, you know, broader Europe.
Because Indonesia is fucking huge, right? Like you hear different parts of Asia.
330 million or something. Yeah,
it's some ridiculous
number. In terms of, say, is it annoying for the platform? I know it's good when there's business happening, but is it annoying in terms of like had you set up your payment options
little bit.
For US?
It's not annoying. You feel responsible. Because, you know, the website says that they can have all this great experience and then we don't even have anyone supporting them in the right time zones. And so it was just that. So literally just doing things like payments and taxes and actually getting some support there, none of that really requires us to be in the country.
Yeah.
And so we sort of just started. And, there was 30 campaigns in there at any one time. It's just that now we want campaigns – you know, we're there working with Gimlet. So, I was with the CMO last week. So they're putting some briefs in there for the North American. There's Unilever brands. So things like there's Hershey's, PepsiCo, Abercrombie & Fitch. There's Wonderboom, which is Logitech, those awesome speakers. There's Schick and Gillette. And so all of those are really good for our creators because they're stuff that people already use.
I was just thinking I could do a Gillette one with my neck beard.
Really?
I've turned a little bit of an applause there.
it doesn't deserve an applause.
I'll take it. And so
the wrong button. So I pushed because, you know, people listen.
Yeah, monkey see, monkey do. You just
well, you've got to one, articulate bro. The visual stuff.
Yeah, we need to, don't we?
Well, we're just like, yeah,
we're meant to say, Jules, you just pressed the yellow button, which is the wrong one on the panel with all the other colours.
You had to do a bit of learning in that regard. Yeah. When you went from... I mean, you went radio, TV, radio. Was it a bit of reset time where you like people have no idea what's going on?
Meaning
when you went from TV to radio,
you were underselling the visuals. You weren't talking about the visuals.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Absolutely. Yeah, I was horrible. And the funny thing is, you know, like when you have a funny conversation, you go, "I can do radio." Yeah. And so when I went in there, I was like, "I can do radio." And then there, Sammy Cav, as you know, and I hope you're getting him on the show.
Yeah.
He would say, like, we're just going to start with the basics, you and Fifi Box. We're going to start with the basics, and after about 18 months, we reckon we'll be. And I'm like, 18 months? Like in the pilot, we just had the funniest conversation. You think you nail it, but there actually is huge amounts of nuances in doing radio well. And I've forgotten it all, which is annoying because I'm going to run out of money pretty soon. So I'm going to have to
need another gig. Have you actually spent any time looking at the media landscape in the States in regards to radio and TV?
No, not really. I don't even know what's happening here. I don't know if I described this last time. I think I might have, but I have completely and utterly retreated from all news and current affairs in a way that
except for Mumbrella.
A little bit.
Yeah. So what I do is in my category, in my niche, there's more than enough stuff I have to read or podcasts I have to listen to or favours like yours. so there's enough of that it's filtered, but I don't look at the news. And my dad hates hearing this and probably people judge me on it, but I swear by it and I think I don't watch television. I don't, certainly not the news channel. I don't have radio, news radio. I don't have apps. I don't obviously read the paper unless we're in it.
What apps do you have on your phone right now if you were to go on the home screen?
Slack. Do you live in Slack?
Yeah. They're all communication. So I've got more, but I've sort of trimmed them back. So things like Facebook and Twitter, none of those are on there, even Instagram.
South by Southwest Co, what's that?
That's like Go? the South, yeah, by Southwest app.
Now, Calm
and Headspace, you're so fucked up, you need two.
Yep. It's weird when they're both playing at once. And it's like two people fucking yelling at me to calm the fuck down.
Are you an avid user of them?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit amped today and I actually feel it because there's a lot going on, but I haven't meditated and I haven't been great the last few weeks. But what I love about – so Headspace is the one that I use, and Smiling Mind is another cracker that's well
Australian.
With, yep, Australian. But what I like about Calm is and I in South by Southwest, so Michael Acton, the founder of Calm, was talking with ironically with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, really?
So Matthew McConaughey is doing bedtime stories for adults. Ooh. And so he goes in there.
Oh, I love his accent.
It is great. And he got up there and talked all about it. And he thought it was a weird idea, but he's really, I mean, he gives back to the community in unbelievable ways with his wife. But he believes that being mindful is the key. He goes, I'm a 9.5 hour a night guy. And I was like, yes, because... You know, like everyone judges me for sleeping, but that's what he needs.
Because you sleep a lot.
Yeah. I'm a 9.5 easy.
There's many times I've come over to your house and you're actually upstairs napping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I only did 7 hours last night and I'm rattled.
So you say you're amped. Can you actually still get 9 hours, 9.5 hours?
Well, I'm jet lagged. Okay. So I'm waking up at 3 a.m. and I'm checking all the comms from Global, which is the worst thing you can do with your phone next to you. But the Calm app... What's ironic, Matthew McConaughey, when he talks about it, I mean, obviously it's been really well received. And this is a whole new trend that we'll start to see. So Moby is back doing ambient sounds. So you know how good Moby tracks were. He's now doing sort of like calm meditation thing with his style. But Matthew McConaughey, there's been nothing but rave reviews, the founder was saying, Michael, except for husbands who are complaining. He's like, if I have to here, I'm trying to go to sleep, and there's Matthew McConaughey whispering to my wife, and they were going to market it as, you know, go to bed with Matthew McConaughey.
I'm more comfortable with Brie going to bed with Stephen Fry.
Yeah, no, he's in there too.
Yeah, he's great. He did a whole thing. I learned a lot about. I think it's lavender.
He's just talking about lavender.
Plant. He talks about Victoria is a hot spot for the plant lavender.
Well, it's growing everywhere.
That's
specifically
the point.
In Victoria.
Yeah, well, that makes sense then.
So Stephen Fry's Lullaby, that's what it's called. So there's a whole movement towards that, and I actually think I've been thinking, I haven't run it past my team yet, but I actually think reaching out to the guys, because we're in contact with the founder, and doing a digital detox. And I know it's ironic for us, but it's really important, and I know these guys here on the couch, Lisa and Grace, believe in this as well, that there needs to be responsible usage of social, and we encourage people to use social a lot. And so what we have to do is almost do like a D-Day, a digital detox day once a year or once a weekend a year, where we actually tell everyone there's no social posts through the platform that are going to be posted on those days, so get in before or after, and it's a big awareness. But I actually think that doing like a six-part series about helping people understand their addiction.
Well, 26 minutes a day, that was the number of people using your app, Tribe.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that's in terms of that metric, is that good? Do you want more?
Well, we all obviously want more, but Instagram's at about sort of 40 minutes. It just gives you an idea that our users are power users, but you're going to love this, right? You will love this.
So Jules is just opening what we're doing now. We're fucking overbaking it.
He's opening it up.
He's rocking an iPhone 7 Plus based on, it's still got the home button.
So this is a heat map of the globe showing everyone that's using our app right now.
Is that west of the US?
It's Europe. Is flying because obviously that's concentrated. But look at the US. So this is what I mean. The US, for those who can't see at home, we've even got a lot of activity in Canada, but it's, you know,
you can
just
see
launching.
The Austin, Texas. There's been many apps that have been made through launching at South by Southwest.
Built on the back.
So
of
is that?
Southwest.
So you would say that?
I think that's Texas there.
Center. It's pretty smack bang.
Awesome. So how exciting is that? So that in terms of engagement, that's what differentiates. And we've got to explain this to investors. People say, "Oh, everyone's doing influencer marketing." It's like, to actually have invested in an app that has that sort of engagement is really unique. Mm. But anyway, enough about that.
How do you ask for the amount of money, and Do you have to put your ego aside around
begging? I wear knee pads.
Is there a bit of begging involved? Does it feel like you've just got to complete, like?
No, no. The good news is, even though it's exhausting, there's so much value in it. And the value is that you have to really sharpen your offering. Mm-hmm. When you go, because you know that they're asking you questions, and each meeting they have a different lens on it. Mm. And so it's just fantastic. I love pressure testing stuff. You know me, I'm analytical, so I'd prefer to obsess over something, get it right and go out. Sadly, tech doesn't work that way. And so there's a sense of tension in me going, oh, it's not ready. They help the whole process. They're sharpening and refining and questioning and scrutinizing. But once you've had those conversations, you're hoping that you can then piece together, like this round of 10.5 million, we've wanted people in Australia, the UK and America all getting involved. And so that's because they're all their networks. And that's what I mean by – yeah, that's what I mean by strategic, because with bases in there, they've all got powerful people around them. Mm. And it helps. And that – I know I didn't finish that story about Keith Weed earlier in terms of the fake followers. Mm. But even having him in the UK as a support at the moment. So he was the most critical. He was seen to be the most critical of influencer marketing on the planet because of that statement last year. And it completely transformed the entire category. So everyone heard, he's not buying fake followers. That means there's fake followers. What they didn't hear was that Unilever believes in this so much that we're going to invest in it, but we're just not going to do it with fraudsters.
Yeah.
And so what happened from there, TJ, is that the whole industry has been cleaned up because everyone's panicked and brands have gone, you know what? And luckily, you know, we've built this algorithm that does that. But since then, after being so critical of, or seen to be so critical of influencer marketing, 2 weeks ago, he was on stage at Marketing Week Live, which is a big event, talking about Tribe, you know. And it's huge. Like that sort of, and that's why I'm excited at this point, because after 4 years, we slowly start to cut through and we get recognised for what we've been building and the vision.
When you're chatting to VCs, have there been any moments where you've completely missed the mark in regards to what they care about? And did it change how you approached it?
Absolutely. So they, everyone...
Was it the knee pads?
Yeah.
Take them off?
It was.
Like, dude, I mean, helmet, knee pads, the whole lot.
Yeah, I was wearing rollerblades.
Get out.
Yeah, everyone loves rollerblades. If there's something they want to see in a founder, it's enough courage to wear rollerblades
absolutely.
Publicly.
It's actually something you would do.
Yeah. It's a peacock.
I can imagine.
It is a peacock. So all the time. Mm. So it's a dangerous territory for me with VCs because my passion and enthusiasm is really not what they want to hear.
Yeah.
They want to hear what the CEO is talking about, which LTV and CAC and all of these metrics that I'm not necessarily the numbers.
What are those things? Sorry.
So long-term value of each customer within our platform. Mm-hmm. And so it measures that against the cost of correct. Acquiring them. Yeah. Okay. So
does it come across as you being naive? Is that what you think it's interpreted
as? Or hype as well. Like
hype and naive because they want hard facts and I'm talking generally. So I can definitely come across as being a spin star. Like if it was just me, luckily...
Billy.
Yeah. I'll do the sizzle, but luckily Ant's there delivering the steak. And so that partnership works really well. But everyone sees it from different lenses. So in Asia, they were really hell-bent on the metrics. In the States, they just love the marketing side and the possibilities because they understand marketing better. And so you just have to know which strengths you feature more.
So you're a company starting out, you're a founder, you've got an idea, you don't have the years of experience on stage or in front of TV or on radio like Jules Lund has, or you don't have an aunt who's a CEO weapon, what do?
You play your strengths and you support yourself. So these people that you talk about will probably have greater strengths than I can ever imagine that we lack. And so like everything, it's a pie chart. You know,
he was doing a shape of a pie with his hands.
A very big pie, actually.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of JJ. Pie?
JJ. He's hungry.
JJ.
It's Do love a pie.
Oh my God, you do. You love food. You do love food.
So you've got to have the right talent. Lisa is obviously been heading up the UK efforts. Yeah, It'd be good to have Lisa on just now.
Yeah, bring her on.
Can you give us a bit of an intro first?
Okay, I was going to sub out. So I'll give you...
Yeah, we will. And then we'll sub you out.
So Lisa, I'll tell you this. Lisa Target, she's Australian, as you'll find out, even though she's running operations in the UK. So she worked for the Daily Mail here in Australia in sales capacity. And so when she went over to the UK, we were just launching over there. And ironically, because of the connection and she'd done something of success over here, she brought us in over there. But better yet, we were desperate to get some early traction. Mm-hmm. And she introduced us to some of her friends and got on Selfridges, which is, you know, like the Meyer or the Dave and Jones of the UK. And, you know, one of her best friends signed on and gave us a shot and, you know, we were able to knock it out of the park. And so she didn't even work for us and she literally started the office over there in many ways. And so when we started to look for a country manager, Lisa and I caught up and she said, oh, you know, maybe I'm interested. I said, no, you're not right. I pretty much said, no, I didn't even know what the role entailed. I'm, once again, naive. And it was the best thing because if I said, yeah, we'd love you, she wouldn't have done it. So she's the sort of person that if you say, nah, not for you, she'd go, we'll see about that. And so we did this massive sort of recruitment and was speaking to everyone from Google and Facebook and everything. And, you know, I think Lisa was 28 at the time, right? And it was a mad giving a whole, you know, to someone. But she's just so sharp and smart and passionate and she'd already proven herself. So it was a real easy one and she's sort of grown the whole place over there from strength to strength.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's get Lisa.
Is that for my intro or is that for her?
No, it's definitely for Lisa.
So I'm out of here. Can I heckle from afar because I'm a bit worried about this?
Yeah, well, we'll just have 5 minutes with Lisa and then we'll get you finishing off.
Have you got any other headphones? Because these are a bit sweaty and I've got...
Oh, no, that's... Are they really that sweaty? Lisa doesn't even have to wear headphones.
You don't have to wear them.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wait, are we listening to headphones? Half a foot away from my head.
We just bought them.
Oh, and then we wouldn't have heard the actual
sound effects. We wouldn't have heard the sound effects. We won't play any sound effects while Lisa's on, but Lisa, please come on
in.
Get
that clap back up, can we?
I can't remember which.
Yellow.
There we go.
There we go.
Thank you, James.
Welcome.
Thank you. I thought it was actually a stitch-up that you're going to have me on.
But, no, absolutely.
I've got some corrections that I would like to make.
Oh, perfect.
Jules just said.
What we want.
This is great.
Just firstly, like we're talking about Jules's vision and, you know, him sort of being in there and sometimes you feel the full brunt of Jules Lund. And his energy.
Yes.
What has that been like in terms of the promise he's made or the explanation of the app and what it's capable of and then what you've seen happen over the couple of years?
Yeah, look, Jules is incredibly energetic and, you know, with all the work that we've done in the startup community and that the founders that you see, the ones that are successful do have a vision that they firmly believe in. And they realize it. You know, it's essentially what Jules does better than most is manifestation, where he's seen an entire category, he's seen how it should play out, and in the right way, in making sure that it's transparent. We do things in a really ethical fashion. He's not about short-term wins, and he's, you know, resilience to essentially bear the brunt of an industry going through growing pains and it's over-cluttered and is very, very fast growing without pinching at any short-term wins for that long-term success is exactly why I work for the company and why we've been so successful.
So those corrections that you wanted to make.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was 26 at the time. I'm not 30 now. Okay, I didn't want some extra years put on me. Thanks, Jules. But no, that was it.
Okay. That's it. That's good. So you've built you. Who have you had to within the UK team in regards to support network, and how have you tried to? Is it your job to emulate culture? Do you think to create a new culture? How do you sort of see that piece?
Yeah. We were fortunate, kind of being. You know, a step away from HQ, so that there's pros and cons of it. Some of the big benefits were we didn't have a blueprint. We could test and learn, and we could almost create offshoot strategies from what was going on in Australia by justifying that the UK was a different market, which enabled us to then start to go, okay, what works for the country, what works for the region, and how much of that is true globally. And so we started to pull apart, you know, what are home truths for our product in every market, and what are these like local nuances? And we didn't have to do that with a lot of red tape. You know, we essentially could, you know, had a free rein. We didn't know how successful we would be.
Yeah. Were you surprised? Because it is now. Is it more successful in terms of usage and revenue than Australia?
Yeah. And the UK market is... we've got a lot more competitors. So, you know, Jules often talks about this. They're essentially building and consistently validating our category. Mm-hmm. And for us, we see that as a massive strength. Anyone that uses a competitor platform, an agency in this really early stage, you know, they're going to test and learn multiple partners. And every time that's an opportunity for us to go in and show mm-hmm. them what could be done better, mm-hmm. what challenges they had. And they're essentially educated for us as opposed to probably what's happening in Australia, which is you're constantly having to explain what influencer marketing is.
Selling the category.
That. Mate, the amount of times my mum has asked, so what does Jules' thing do? I don't know.
What was the biggest difference between the Australian market and the UK market?
We thought the content would be a lot worse mm-hmm. because of the daylight. There's not as much sunlight for good, content right? creators it's in
nice
the UK.
It's nice and soft though. It's an overcast true. Day can...
They
can
do lead. Say that for wedding photos.
Yeah.
So don't worry if it rains.
Is there a lot of rain in England? Oh, sorry, the UK, London?
Yeah, famously. Well,
I say it lightly because the amount of people that I've said that to that are from the UK, they're like, it's not as bad as you think.
They just got to justify living there, don't they?
Went there and it rained. Yeah. Exactly. I've never seen that many umbrellas in one street.
Yeah. Tommy's going to focus more on just London and geography in general.
Well, Jules has actually renamed it London with a U. Isn't that true?
London with a U.
London.
Oh, Jakey hasn't done that.
No, that's I want to just make some corrections.
Yeah. He'll be on to make the corrections.
Can't spell tribe without an I. What do you always say? Can't spell America without me. Is it all his Londonisms he calls them?
He's a narcissist.
What have you learned through all the process from a development point of view?
Well, not being with our tech team and mm-hmm. our marketing team, communication is everything for mm-hmm. us. And so the culture that we did have to build in the UK was resilient, patient, and essentially over communicative. Mm-hmm. And it's all about building relationships internally as well. You know, we can't just, in a startup, everyone is working at 150% all of the time. And not one agenda can really override someone else's. Yeah. Like we're all working over hours, we're all tired. We all maybe missed a Slack message or an email.
To be honest, I don't think it's for Josh and I. I don't think it would be like that. It sounds pretty full on.
I think that there's probably, is there some, a competitive nature to it? I think I've found when I've worked for businesses that have had different teams and siloed teams, especially, there is the competition of fuck what they're doing. I think we can do it this way. I think we can go harder. Or do you think that that's sort of destructive to the overall dynamic of the company?
There's healthy competition, mm-hmm. but, it's us against the world.
Yeah.
So I learn every single day from the Australian team mm-hmm. and vice versa. You know, one day someone's up, someone's down, it flips, it reverses. And, you know, the UK is not going to be the biggest revenue generator mm-hmm. anymore just on sheer volume.
Yeah.
So we'll start to look at things like market share, I'm sure. Mm. And, you know, start to really, you know, re-look at success sort of in each market a little bit differently because we're at a more mature stage. But because of the differences in market, it is hard to compare internally mm-hmm. and you'd be wasting energy doing that.
Yeah.
You know, for us, we're a very unique product. It's even hard to compare ourselves to competitors a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So what we do when we can't work longer is, you know, we really share and leverage one another's work. And if something's been done in Australia that we can, you know, just flip and kind of re-engineer somehow to tweak for our market, we do it.
Do you feel personally invested in Tribe?
I do.
Do you think that's a result of the company and its, you know, I guess,
I designed
culture?
Something. When
What's that foundational stuff as well? Like you're getting to build this thing from scratch.
Well, I'm trying to understand how you personally get to a point like that working within a business, because I think it's more important than ever for to have complete buy-in, because they're not just jobs anymore where you're just showing up and ticking it off.
Yeah, it's true. I think one thing that we speak about a lot in the UK is
going to the pub to have a beer.
Obviously, yeah, no. is that
lunch.
The whole idea of having being in a startup at all and having all the things that, you know, young people or people in the industry at the moment want, like flexible working hours, etc. All the perks per se. We've got all of that in our control. Mm. But really, at the end of the day, even if you have flexible working and unlimited leave and all these sorts of things that people think are sort of the ticket for a certain company, none of that actually matters if you're not fulfilled by what you're doing. Mm. And so we have that, and that's great. But you always find that when people have things like unlimited leave, they often don't take it all because their choice architecture has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, they get to choose what they do with their time, how invested they want to get. And we spur each other on, you know, we see someone working really hard and kind of doing extra work or thinking differently. It inspires you to do something, and we have that mutually inspirational relationship. Mm. And that's, I think, why as young people, and our team's average age in the UK is something like 25, 26, mm-hmm. That's exactly what we want.
Unless you're asking Jules, because he'll say it's probably 2 years 30. Above.
He's just upset about his own age. But, you know, we have this thing of going, you know, I say it's like investing in your own MBA. We are learning, and we are so fortunate to be able to get across tech, marketing, sales, strategy. And we know at the end of the day, we won't be successful unless we're the ones that have done it. Mm. And that level of accountability essentially gives you a blueprint to take into any business, any kind of career that you want as an individual. And it speaks to entrepreneurship in general. So I think everyone feels personally responsible and really driven by their own journey within Tribe. And Tribe is just an enabler for that kind of success, no matter what you want to do in your role. So that's how you get so invested, because you know exactly how this journey is going to translate into whatever. And fortunately, every year that we put into Tribe, and I've been with Tribe for 2 years now, you know, the equity that Tribe builds in Tribe's name is also built in my name. Mm. And the two things aren't mutually exclusive. Mm. So
it's exciting. I mean, yeah. What are you actually excited about? If you were to look ahead, because as millennials, we tend to job hop a lot. Mm. 2 years for anyone under 30 is a significant amount of time. What makes you think about staying 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, what does that look like for you, do you think?
And is it the view from One World Trade Center in New York City?
It's actually not. Maybe I'm the only Tribe employee that didn't even consider going to New York. Yeah. Because there's so much more to do in the UK, and we have built so much positive equity in that market, and there's just so much more to do. So I never even considered that. But looking ahead, when you talk about like job hopping, something I'm really, really passionate about, because I think you have to look at the reason people do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is wrapped up in ego, is wrapped up in people not understanding themselves, their own motivations and what drives them. And also people being really lazy and lacking resourcefulness to actually get what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen, you know, we've always talked about we're a flat structure, we're a startup, we don't know, you know, what's going to be unraveled sort of around the next corner. So I can't hire someone and say, you're going to lead a team of five in 12 months' time.
Yeah.
We never make any promises, because that's the quickest way to piss off an employee, to be honest.
Yeah. You say, but it could be 50.
Exactly. If you create it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you create enough business in the UK that we are market leaders, go start Tribe Spain.
Yeah.
You know, like everything is just this, is this open world of possibility if you create it. Mm. And again, that accountability and that feeling of, you know, I can actually do this myself and no one else is going to do it, means we don't see any problem with retention or churn. We've been very fortunate for anyone that, you know, is essentially entrepreneurial in their own right.
I thought you would have seen a fair bit of drop off after the Nando's card went.
Yeah.
But
never had it in the UK.
And the UK, they've got the peas, the mint and peas
thing in Nando's. Now we're specifically talking about what's on the menu.
spicy rice?
Yeah.
Is that here?
Yeah, we got spicy
rice. Do you ever buy the peas? You know, the peas? You can get them separately as a side.
Not a fan of peas.
Really? When they add mint and stuff. Anyway.
Floating pie.
But no one knows who Jules is in the UK. You know, outside of the industry, I think people – and now Jules's name is synonymous with influencer marketing and marketing in the UK. But definitely no one – we often show – some sizzle reels of your glory days.
We should do a cut of definitely just saying, how good is this? Yes, oh, no, it doesn't get any better than this.
Very, very getaway. Very getaway. But to be clear, Jules is known in pockets in Australia. But anyway, we'll get Jules back on. Thank you,
thanks, Lisa,
thanks,
for that. Man, Jules, you've managed to find a team that highly engaged, invested smart. Into the business, smart.
How impressive is Lisa? Like, I sit back there and we've got, you know, we've got people like that all through the company. Mm. You know, I think about our AU sales director, Sammy Major up in Sydney, who's running a team. You know, I think
she's... Sammy, she's switched on.
Yeah, so she'd be about, I think she's about...
He's
she's about 80.
I mean, what do you think it is that with from a hiring point of view, what do you actually look at? What was it about Lisa where you like actually think that you could? Because I think it's a risk investing in young people at that leadership level. A lot of people aren't doing it. I feel.
Yeah. And to be honest, our CEO is exactly the same ant. You know, like you actually can't afford the people that you want at the time. Mm. Like that's the reality of it. Uh-huh. And so what you're trying to do is find those that are just about to pop and that they can pop if given the opportunity through your company.
You're playing an investment game. You're a VC in all these people.
And so and all that it comes down to is learning agility. Mm-hmm. So I just I'm very prejudiced around like I just love and fascinated by smart, innovative, irritated people.
Yeah.
People who are irritated with life that get frustrated, that go, surely there's a better way. And that irritant within their body just allows them to motivate and innovate. And
Are you looking for the things that you don't see in yourself, or are you looking
piss off, mate? That was a real. Where's that?
Or maybe we've turned down the.
I don't even know what
thing.
That is.
No, but I guess it's in some regards, I see it as I actually see those qualities in what you're doing with the reach and all those sort of things. It's just like
I say. I don't want people the same skills as me, but I definitely want people with the same thinking as me. Mm. And that is, as you say, it's just...
Same thinking, different strength.
Yeah, exactly. It's that lens. But, you know, we've been really lucky and, you know, and it's funny you talk about millennials and job hopping. Like early on I'd get really gutted if someone left, but I love it now. Like if, you know, like I would be so happy for these people to move on to a role that they felt was a step up. Yeah. Like if they felt they hit the ceiling within our company or they weren't growing, I'm now so proud of, but sadly a few of them do that and then they end up going, can we come back? Yeah. Because
And you fucked up, is that what you say?
Yeah. Oh no, I don't respond.
No, they think he's overseas. No, I know a couple of that have left, they were there from the very beginning, the early Nando's days. And they've personally told me that they came to you and were sort of upset and said, I've got this opportunity, and you're like, go.
Yeah. This, well, I would say the same to you guys. I mean, we've always talked about this. And it's look at my career, you know, I was studying graphic design and then I was doing life coaching, graphic design, and then I was doing radio, then TV, and then radio, and then social, and I'll probably do travel photography next or do sketching, or, you know, like I will continually move on those things that feel like they excite me. And if you don't have that, you really got nothing, because the money's in everything. If you're going to work your ass off, you get money doing whatever. The key is doing the things that doesn't feel as much like you're working.
What's the next milestone? More specifically, what are you anxious about? What's the thing you have to worry about next?
We got Jules at the good.
We got you on the good day. We got you last time in the
doldrums.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were in the train. You're in the tunnel. You're going so fast you can't go back.
And so when exciting things happen, you probably start to hedge your bets or think about where this could fuck up or where you got to worry.
Well, we've got the next 12 to 18 months. Mm-hmm. It's a big swing and we're trying to take a bite out of the big apple. Like it's a massive.
That sounds very media trained. I like that. Thanks. Bite out of the big.
It doesn't get any better than this.
I was just throwing those down as LinkedIn captions. You know, literally.
He's A-B testing on the show. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Bite out of the big apple.
Thanks, love it.
Can we actually get a photo of you eating an apple?
In Times Square?
Yeah.
Suck on that, Jules. So I think we've there's an enormous amount of like if we weren't scared shitless, we're actually spending their money on the wrong thing. Like our investors want us to be not terrified, debilitated with fear, but it's ambitious. Like we've gone, Australia, we'll take that. We'll try and do that in the UK. And they were going, yeah, the biggest country on the planet for marketing, we'll take that one. Yeah. And like there must be 1,400 competitors over there. Like they're not there going, God, we really need another influencer marketplace. Mm. So it's a very ballsy thing to do. So absolutely, as things don't work in the timeline that we need it to, it'll always look like things are going well. But if it's not happening in the timeline that we need it to, then, we start to get towards the end of the runway and it just drops off like a cliff. So that's nerve-wracking, but also just the balance of life, because if I go down that tunnel again, right – like this time I'm now really with meditation and I got in the ballot for the New York Marathon. So the last marathon I did, JJ couldn't keep up.
Oh, yeah. So what happened was we surprised Jules by making him run a marathon in London, and I decided I was filming, and the one moment Jules was like, if you're going to fucking do this, I want to get a shot of me running along and the London Eye in the background. And unfortunately, I had a rickshaw driver, and I was 120 kilos at the time, and he couldn't get up the hill.
I was running faster than this rickshaw, so it was. I mean, it was mean all round. My radio team go literally blindfolded. They lift the blindfold. There's a trainer on one side and a masseuse on the other. You're running 42 kilometers, right? You're on the London Olympic London Marathon circuit that in 12 days they're going to be running for real. But today it's just normal traffic. Yeah, and you're going to see how far you can run, right? And they're all laughing at me. And like the night before I had a green chicken curry and a bourbon. That morning, no breakfast. The furthest I'd run was 9K. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, fuck you guys. So I put my head down and I completed the entire marathon. Really? No training within under 5 hours.
And the person that came out with an injury was Josh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I actually.
He did his back.
Well, the masseuse, he was there for Jules. I just remember being at the.
How much was I hating you that trip?
The McCure Hotel. There was a fight that we mentioned it last time.
But remember the photo? You've got a candid photo of me staring at you as you're taking photos and can you find that photo?
Well, absolutely. But the reason, the big fight was in the tube, and because I said we just need some candid photos of you guys like on the tube, and Jules wasn't smiling, and I said, can you smile a little bit? And he said, well, that's not candid. And then so we had a fight in the tube for 5 minutes about what it meant to be candid. I said, well, it's not fucking candid. I want you to be... Don't be candid. Act candid.
That's like faking sincerity.
So what's the ballot with the New York
So I'm doing New York Marathon. So I'm really excited about that, which I don't know where I'll find the time this year, but you guys can imagine that outlet, you know, in thinking is great for my brain. And then I wouldn't mind, doing some other projects off the bucket list. But they're the things that make me nervous. And obviously, to be a father and a husband and all those things is tricky with travel. So
how do you balance it though? Because I haven't seen the fun that we used to have.
Yeah, we're not having it as much anymore. I'm having it with other people now. JJ, how good was Friday night? Hey! Mint peas.
Mint peas. Bit of a Nando's run.
We should get Mr. 97. He's always got a question. Okay. Or if he doesn't, we make him ask one.
I got a question.
He's going.
Jules, what are you excited for in terms of user-generated content for the next 6 months? I think there's been like a massive shift towards like honesty and posting and stuff.
Yeah.
So what are you excited for?
Well, to be honest, our marketplace hasn't been awesome for video content enough. And so there's a huge opportunity there. I don't think the creators and these, for us, our micro-influencers have between 3,000 and 100,000 followers. Like they're everyday people, right? And even so, I like the people with 0 to 3,000 followers. I think that content is valuable to brands as well. But it's not that they can't create amazing content. It's just the brands aren't asking for it.
Yeah.
And we're not helping the brands ask for the type of video content, because when they ask for it, they can't necessarily upload example videos within our platform. So we're shifting all that at the moment. And it sounds extraordinary to think that 4 years on, you can't upload video, but this is how long it takes to create these things.
What is it? Is it the heaviness of the video, the files?
Oh, look, mate, don't ask, mate. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say yes because...
Sounds about right.
It sounds about right.
What is the actual industry that you think is doing the best job on this sort of influencer space?
Well, I actually think the beauty industry is doing the best stuff for video content because, and also things like unboxing and also just how-to tutorials and makeup. I think I reckon that content is really engaging and people are getting better and better at it. And I think it can work really well on Instagram, but also things like drone footage all the way through to cinemagraphs and stop motion is amazing stuff. Tommy's done a bit of stop motion. He did a chup a chup thing through our platform that wasn't his account. So we actually had to block him. So he hasn't been invited back. It was Ryan John's Instagram account.
Amazingly, they got all the fake followers past them.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Yeah. No fake followers here.
And so, yeah, I'm excited about video content. And as you know, the smartphones are only getting better and better and better. So, and also taking that video content, Mr. 97, and putting it in digital out of home. So you think of
what the fuck does that? Do you say digital out of home?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, out of home is outdoor media. So billboards and all of the stuff in Westfield shopping centers and bus shelters and now it's all digital. Mm-hmm. And so they've gone from printing one thing to now being able to have hundreds and hundreds of things in that screen, which means you now need sort of volumes of content. And so we did this Bacardi one where they got all this content and then they had 70 pieces of content and they, where the photo featured a hotel or a bar, they put that content within a 5-mile radius of that bar going, go there with the actual picture. And so they can do this now through digital out of home, which means it's all programmatic. And so as soon as it turned onto that, it's now like it needs huge amounts of volumes and they can't go to a billboard, you know, a creative
agency
and because they need so much of it and now it's the first time in history, Mr. 97, that people like you can create awesome content that can sit on a billboard.
It's so exciting seeing you talk in front of a group of people. You tell people to get out their phones, send through something that has a brand involved in the picture. Everyone's got one in their phones except Mr. 97 doesn't really take many photos, and then you put them up on billboards. Everyone has the capability.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a cost per minute thing, just out of curiosity? No. How do they charge out that when we see a digital billboard?
Yeah.
How's that actually
The working? Media side, I'm not sure, but when a content creator submits it, they get paid a flat fee and then the brand can use that in perpetuity for online or digital out of home. And so if it's being printed or it's in billboards, you get a lot more money. And so our content creators, keeping in mind that our content creators, because they're now not publishing all of that content on their social feed, we just have content campaigns as well, then they can get like 5 or 6 pieces of content. Like they can do a photo shoot, right, on a sunny day and get 5 or 6 pieces of content purchased. Like it's on their iPhone. Like it's pretty extraordinary. And that's what is really exciting because brands really need that. Customers can do it, but it requires an enormous amount of technology in between, and we've spent 4 years building for that, which both sides of the marketplace don't know yet exists.
And it's been well received, the content creation from
absolutely. It can grow more. I mean, the reality is going to Cadbury and going, here's 300 pieces of content of your Cadbury cream eggs. JJ's mouth's watering. I actually heard it.
We've done cream eggs on the show. Yeah. Actually.
So
turns out they're from the UK as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So giving them 300 pieces of content is exciting for them because they've never had it. Mm. But it's also giving them another problem. Now, how do I take those assets and turn them into like a 12-second Insta Stories video? So what we're now doing is playing with actually. You can go and get all this branded content and then we create the ads with graphics and logos and give them a whole swag bag full of these mobile first social video ads that are designed to convert. Mm.
Are brands going on specific licensing? Like say, for instance, you find that they just want the license that gives them across everything, or are they focusing on digital?
Mostly digital. I mean, it should be disposable style of content. Yeah. Like it should be moving fast now that you can get it more and more. Mm-hmm. Have we missed our meeting?
We're getting a nod.
But the day's going to be over by the time we finish.
We're finishing now.
I mean, you've got no stamina anymore, mate. We wanted 2 hours.
Last time we did 2 hours and then he sent it to me. I said, I can't give you like I was there. What am I listening?
You know, well, it's good. Sometimes I actually can't listen to it. Do you? Can you watch yourself back on things?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Nice. You've got that vibe.
Ooh, yeah. You better believe it. Yeah. It's the hardest part is getting the Beta and VHS tapes copied over to a USB.
It gives you tingles.
Can you just
so I can go back to my glory days?
Can we please do this? We can load in our own sound effects. Can we just get one of you?
Yep. I know where you're going.
Channeling.
You don't even have to ask me.
Okay, quite on set.
Does it get any better than this?
Yes. It's very good. I actually imagine though, I think you did a lot more yelling, but that's
okay. Yeah, because I usually was a long shot. Yeah, I'll do one more,
This is on the beach.
Wait, off mic. Okay, yeah, great.
And it's so I'm in snowboard gear, and
the heli. Yeah. How would they let you know? By the way, how would the helicopter say we're zooming out now? Would they have a walkie-talkie?
They'd probably page me. That's how long ago it was. No, I got it. Right.
Three, two.
Stick around because after the break, Katrina Rowntree heads to family-friendly Fiji.
That's so good. Are we allowed to bring up the river area thing or no? Absolutely not.
I don't know. Okay.
Just dump.
It's just a stump button.
It's a daily talk show. It's a very long story. It's a daily talk show. Jules, thanks for coming on the show. How long until you leave to go somewhere else?
How long until I'm stressed again? And you can get me back with new content?
Are you in Melbourne now for a bit? Or
yeah,
no?
I am.
Okay,
I am.
So you can turn off your email signature. He's in town every
Probably
Monday.
Won't. Probably won't.
Thanks, mate. Won't. It's a daily talk show. Thanks, hi. Guys. @thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.
Bye.